It is almost 3 a.m., and you know what that means. Witches, goblins, and ghouls are about to be at their most powerful, and supernatural activity is about to reach its climax, if you will.
So pull out your harnesses and strap on your broomsticks, because it's time for
the Bitching Hour. Hi, I'm Maggie, and I had a fashion blog in the 8th grade where I told readers where they could buy my Aeropostale looks.
What was it called?
Fashionspaz.blogspot.com.
And hi everyone, I'm Mia, aspiring nurse midwife, like everyone else you've ever met from Western Mass.
Oh no! Oh no!
Catch me in my clogs. Eating tabbouleh.
Okay.
All right.
So for this week's episode, we actually traveled to Western Massachusetts to Mount Holyoke College to talk with our friend Rochelle. She's a local Twitter celebrity and all-around gay dreamboat. So we were very excited to talk with her. We get started with Rochelle joining us on Bitch It Out. Then we'll talk about self-documentation and social media. We get to pick Rochelle's brain a little bit about how she treats Twitter and Instagram and her own online personality and what it means to be documenting our lives and forming our identities. And finally, to close it out, Mia and I play a little game of two truths and a lie and know each other better than I thought we did. So let's get started. All right, everyone. So we are going to play a game today that you have heard before called Lil Bitch, where we bitch it out about something that is just really grinding our gears. And we are having our guest on this episode, Rochelle, join us to air her grievances as well. So Rochelle, would you like to get started? Do you want to kick us off?
Thank you. I would love to get started. Something that I've noticed that really gets on my nerves is when people are talking about someone they have a crush on who they're obviously attracted to. And they're like, yeah, I'm really into her, but she's not even that hot, though. Why would you say that? You obviously think she's hot. I don't know whose benefit you're doing that for. I think people are just worried that their friends might not think the person's as hot as they do. But I feel like that's rude to someone you allegedly have a crush on.
Right. And it's also kind of like a weird humble brag.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I like them, but like...
They're not even that hot, though.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I like people, but I keep it low-key. I only like ugly people.
Right. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I realize that you're implicating someone else in this.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and that person probably doesn't think you're hot.
Well, it's also, like, I don't know why you would... You're, like, holding to some, like, standard of beauty or, like, hotness that you've made up. Like, you get to redefine that. Just do it. I don't know. I don't understand.
It's very bizarre.
I would never. I feel like if I ever do that, I want someone to like take me outside and shake me.
We can help. Yeah. Okay, well, I'll go next. So my bitch it out right now is, like, it's funny, but it actually is kind of serious. I have noticed way too many straight women, and not just like women that I don't know their sexuality and I make stupid assumptions for, but like women who like are openly straight say the word dyke. Don't do that.
Don't do
that's
that.
That's not for you. That's not your word. I don't care who you're quoting. I don't care if you're quoting me. I don't care if like I literally just said it about myself. You don't get to do that. Like, I don't know when we all decided that dyke was like kind of like a chill...
It's like a soft slur.
It's a soft slur. It is a soft slur. And, like, I think it's Steve Bannon. Again, you know, he's coming in with this Seven Sisters dyke comment.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? That doesn't normalize this. Why would you try to replicate Steve Bannon? Look at yourself.
Yeah, that dude is a rotting piece of prosciutto.
Look at your choices.
He looks terrible.
Day by day. He's like what would happen in an actual zombie apocalypse. Like, sometimes I get freaked out about zombie apocalypse and I think about it. And then I think like, yeah, but like, imagine a bunch of dead corpses trying to like walk around in the sun.
Smelly.
They would fall apart very quickly.
Just right away, smelly. Just smelly.
So, no, they wouldn't be able to attack you because they would be rotting.
Yeah.
That's what Steve Bannon looks like. He's the image in my mind of rotting zombies.
He's like walking towards afraid. You and his face falls off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, I don't care.
Well, Mia, what about you?
My little bitch is the t-shirts you can buy in Forever 21 that say femme on them. Ugh. Actually, most t-shirts with writing on them.
Yeah.
I don't like sayings on clothes. Actually, Maggie has a yoga mat that says "Don't quit," but there's no apostrophe at the don't.
It was $7 at Target. I wanted a cheap yoga mat for my living
room. Don't quit.
It is cheap. It was what am I going to buy a $30 yoga mat to do yoga with Adrian on YouTube?
Right.
No. Don't quit.
But what you need is like a shirt that says like. Run, breathe, laugh, repeat from like Old Navy to keep up with it. I don't like t-shirts with phrases.
I'm currently wearing a shirt with writing on it.
Yeah, but that's a sports shirt is different. Okay. Yeah, it's phrases.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's just Eagles pride, I think.
Also, I have a question about the future's female shirts.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't know if it is.
I've made a shirt that just said the future is future, I tried to get people to buy them, but they didn't. But that's okay.
I want a shirt that just says like
the future
stop.
Is. Yeah.
Oh my god, this could be my day. So Rochelle actually has a little bit of a business.
Oh, I owe you a shirt.
Yeah, Rochelle made these shirts that say Mount Holyoke College, a century of women who top, as opposed to Mount Holyoke College, a century of women on top. And I am so excited to pick mine up.
I'll find it for you in my room.
Can I buy one?
I need to like reprint them, I think. Amazing. I'm not sure when the new ones would come in.
See, okay, so already in this little bitch, I've changed my mind about some phrases on shirts.
But you don't like it when like fast fashion produces things with like queer identifiers on it.
Or even feminism. Like, I'm all for people, like for feminism and the idea of feminism becoming pop culture. Thank you, Beyonce. But I don't love it just becoming something that people can buy constantly. Like, I don't feel the need to buy a t-shirt that was made using horrible labor conditions from Forever 21, which is a very Christian company that says feminist on it. Mm-hmm. I have a problem with that.
That's my little bitch.
Fuck you, Forever 21.
All right.
Hey, Rochelle.
Hi.
So we'd like to welcome you to the
Thank
podcast
you.
Today.
Thank you. I'm so honored. Again.
And I'd like to ask you to introduce yourself for our listeners.
Yes, of course. My name's Rochelle. I'm a senior at Mount Holyoke College, where we are right now. Mm-hmm. I graduated in a month. I study religion here. I like to make jokes online and in person. And I like it when it's sunny outside, which is what's happening now. So I'm feeling pretty good.
So we invited Rochelle on today to talk a little bit actually about her making jokes online. Because the theme for today's main brew is self-documentation and social media. So obviously there are a lot of different ways to get yourself online and kind of put your personality into the internet these days. I think we all know that, but the ways in which we document ourselves and the ways in which we talk about it, I think there's a lot of variety, and I think they're really intricately tied to identities, particularly queerness, but I think they really become an opportunity to hear how people think of themselves and how they want to be portrayed. So that's kind of why we brought Rochelle on to talk about this topic in particular. So I guess to get us started a little bit, Rochelle, will you talk a little bit about just which social media platforms you use and kind of how you make the decisions to post things? Like, what's your brand?
The social media platform I use the most is probably Twitter, which is the bad place. But I really like it. And I think that's probably the one where I am most openly open about, I guess, all of the different identities that I inhabit, but I also care the least about, I guess, like censoring myself on Twitter, probably. I also use Instagram. I have a Rinsta and a Finsta.
So will you explain what Rinsta and Finsta is for our viewers,
and
listeners?
For me.
Okay.
Sure. I don't understand.
Rinsta, my little sister had to teach me what these two things are. So Rinsta is like your real Instagram, and you can have it like set to public, and that's like mm-hmm. the one all your friends follow, but also like your former teachers and your aunt and uncle maybe. Mm-hmm. And like if people search your name on Instagram, like that might pop up. Mm-hmm. And then your Finsta is a private Instagram that you're supposed to have only like your close friends follow. And that's what you use to complain and talk about your crushes and like post a nude or two. Or like post pictures of yourself out on the town.
I guess. Right, right. Okay, yeah. I think I'm doing this all wrong. I do it all on the same place.
Yeah. Well, I used to do that, not so much on Insta, mm-hmm. But I use Twitter. I like really truly say what I want. So eventually I was like, maybe I should stop posting like almost naked pictures of myself on a public on a public forum. So then I started just doing them in two places instead.
Spreading the wealth.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Maggie, what social media platforms do you like?
So I also have a Twitter, which I got a Twitter in 2009, actually, and never posted on it. I think my sister made it for me. And I now use it again. But I'm a little bit, I have a hard time keeping up with it. Like, one of the things I love about Rochelle's Twitter is that, like, you're tweeting all the time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's funny all the time. Like, if I tweet all the time, like, maybe every 10 is going to be really, like, a banger. But, you know, it's just, they're so concise. I find that to be, I'm a talker. I find that hard to do. Mm-hmm. I have an Instagram, which I think I'm even less, I don't use it very frequently. I like it, and I like to see it. But Instagram is the one that kind of makes me feel shitty if I check it a lot. Like if I look at other people's Instagrams, I'm like, it's very easy for me to be like, wow, everybody's having a really good time without me, you know, even though they could be miserable and sick and faking it. But and I have a Facebook, but whatever.
Yeah. Me too.
It doesn't count anymore.
And a LinkedIn, kill me.
Yeah, I think, well, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but I think that Instagram feels the most curated comparatively. But I don't know what it says about me that that's my favorite. Mm-hmm. That's my internet stomping ground. Mm-hmm. I also have a Facebook, which I don't use that frequently. Mm-hmm. But I used to use Facebook. Like, I loved Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And it's good. Like, Facebook is like has its own merits, I think, for events especially.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm awful at Twitter. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm like you.
I like your tweet.
Like, 1 in 10 tweets is funny, so I only post that once. But that means that I only post, like, once a month when I think of something, like, actually funny. Uh-huh. Someone recently was like, oh, you should do stand-up. And I was like, just look at my Twitter. Like, it's not funny. Like, there's not enough material there for stand-up. But I do really like Instagram.
So, Rochelle, I want to know, you said that Twitter is kind of your place where you feel like you can just say whatever you want and you really get into it. So I guess two questions off of that. The first is just why. And secondly, do you feel like that goes the other way? Like, do you feel like that's where you get most of your news or you learn about most stuff or like?
Yeah. I think Twitter works well for me because I have a lot of thoughts that are just one sentence long, which is like, I'll be doing something and I'll be like, I feel like a little gremlin in a slimy cave. But like, that's like, that's like not like a longer joke. That's just like how I feel like trying to find something under my bed or whatever. So that works really well for Twitter because it's like a short, just like a short image, but I can't make that into a longer thing. So before I used Twitter, like when I was a teen, I used Tumblr a lot and I was not a good Tumblr user because I really just wanted to say like two words. Yeah, and I don't know. I feel like because of the way like retweeting works, it's been like an interesting way to meet new people because like one of my friends will like retweet my tweet and suddenly like their friends follow me on Twitter.
Yes.
So like I'm from California, and my friend Becca goes to UC Davis, so there are all these people from UC Davis who follow me on Twitter who I've never met. I just know one person there, but we talk all the time. So that's kind of fun. I don't know, I like that. And I do feel like I get a lot of news from Twitter. I actually had to take a break from it last summer just because the news in the world and country was stressing me out so bad that I like couldn't read like 6 tweets in a row about like nuclear war, and I just like couldn't like didn't use the platform for like 2 or 3 weeks.
I've also had friends say to me, like one friend in particular has said that she prefers Instagram over, she was talking about Facebook, mm-hmm. she doesn't use Twitter, but she was talking about it using Instagram over Facebook, which they're very different to begin with, but she was saying that on Instagram, she doesn't have to see all kinds of political stuff. She doesn't have to see, like, really bigoted people talking about stuff and that kind of thing, which is, like, you know, it toes this line of, like, well, just because you're not seeing it doesn't mean it's not there.
Right.
But it also people's right to totally disengage and, like, protect themselves and take care of themselves and, like, tap out for a bit.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's interesting that Instagram and kind of has its a separation from the way that... I feel like Facebook is, like, weird arguments with people's racist uncle.
Yeah.
Twitter is, like, actual news that itself is depressing. And then Instagram is, like, hot fitness babes.
Yeah. Well, traps, Twitter has a weird, has a weird, like, combination because you, like, see things in a feed. So it'll be, like, your friend saying a joke and, like, a viral tweet about hot dogs and, like, a nice picture of someone and then, like, CNN being, like, President Trump has ordered.
Yeah, totally.
So you get all your news in, like, a weird... It's, like, kind of disorienting, I think, to get news that way all mixed in.
One of the things that I really like about Twitter, kind of... You were talking about how identity can kind of factor into having a Twitter personality, is that I have found a lot of, like, queer role models on Twitter.
Yeah, totally.
That I would not have found out about any other way. But it... So it feels to me like I'm getting their almost, like... Not stream of conscious, but, like, kind of, like, consciousness. Stream of consciousness. But, like, I'm getting something, like, I'm getting close to it. Or I'm getting, like, a little bit more of their day. Or those little one-liners. Or, like, oh, that's just how I felt when I was, like, trying to find my wallet that fell under my bed.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
And I was wondering if that feels that way to you to be tweeting. Like, do you feel like you are doing a stream of consciousness? Or do you feel like...
Yeah, I really don't... curate what I post on Twitter for better or worse. Is truly just like having a thought. I know people who like when they have thoughts that get stuck in their head, they like write them down in a notebook and like that's how they get the thought out. And I feel like instead of doing that, I'm like, what if I did that and also everyone could see it?
I kind of love that. I think you're selling Twitter for me right now.
Yeah, it's well, but there's like bad things about it. For sure. I don't know. I just, I think it's pretty stream of consciousness for me. I post a lot of stuff on Twitter, though, that I wouldn't necessarily, like, talk about out loud as it was, like, happening to me, or, like, I wouldn't talk about in the same way, and I think that can be confusing for the people I also know in real life.
Like, what do you, I mean, now we're talking out loud, so maybe you don't want to share it, but, like, what sort of topics do you not?
Like, I tweet every so often about masturbating, but, like, I don't talk about that with my friends because that'd be so weird.
Yeah.
But then then I think that's, like, a little dissonance for people. But it's also, like, I think I tweet about stuff that other people wouldn't, but I don't tweet about anything that I'm ashamed about.
Right.
Like, even if it's something, like, weird, I'm like, other people are doing this or, like, thinking these weird thoughts.
What like, almost feels like to me is you might be tweeting things that other people might not tweet about, but everyone else is thinking
about. Exactly. Yeah. And I don't, like, have a... I think that's fine. Like, I don't know. I've been thinking a lot because I'm looking for a job.
Y'all missed the air quotes, but...
And I
don't do it. Don't get one. It's the worst.
I need it. I need it.
Yeah.
But I have my account's public, so... And a lot of my friends have, like, locked their accounts, so if someone searches their name... And I don't use my full name on Twitter, and if you search my full name, like, you won't get that... You won't get it.
Right.
But I think a lot about, like, whether I should lock it or not. And I'm like, honestly, I'm not saying anything that I think is, like, bad.
Right.
Like, if someone's not going to hire me because I'm talking about, like... how gay I am, like, I don't
want to work there. Actually, I was having this conversation last night with my mom at TGI Friday over some Coronas. My mom was asking about the podcast, which she doesn't know how to listen to, which is probably for the best.
I hope she starts to listen.
She will. I told her she'll like some of the episodes, but I was talking to my mom and she was like, oh, are you saying anything on the podcast that, like... She was basically like being a mom and being like, can you get in trouble?
We had to talk to
you. No, I mean, first of all, if someone meets me or talks to me, they're going to know a couple things right off the bat.
Yeah, I
literally want to, like, be the person to give people abortions.
Right.
It's not something I, like, look forward to in my life, but it's something that's important to me to be able to provide access for.
Right.
To, for people.
Right.
So, like, my politics are pretty out in the open based on, like, the fact that I want to be a midwife.
Like, there's a fan base, a potential fan base, which is not potential, that you've alienated just by, like, the things you care about.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, my fucking super religious high school peers are not probably going to watch this or listen to it, I mean. But also, I was like, I mean, if someone has a problem with... The podcast is about queerness. If someone has a problem with queerness, we've got another issue.
Right.
Like, that's not what I'm not possibly concerned about that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I completely agree with that. You know, I talked about the same thing with my mom, and I said, the thing I always say about social media is that, like, I know doing things on the internet, particularly in the age of, like, what we're learning about safety and data protection, sure. But like, just in general, like, when you put things on the internet, it's the same as, like, being willing to talk about it full volume on a street corner and not care, like, who walks by you.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, fine. But, like, I would talk about being gay on a street. I do. Name me a street corner where I'm not talking about being gay.
You should see that on Newbury Street.
Just screaming about it.
Like, wrapped in several rainbow flags.
But, Rochelle, so you've said that, like, just now, that you feel like you almost edit yourself more in your real life or in your spoken life than you do on the internet. So kind of how does that play out then with your friends?
A lot of people in my life have found out things that I, like, don't super like talking about all the time out loud through Twitter, because for some reason, me, like, tweeting about, like, my family history of, like, addiction and substance abuse is, like, so much easier to tell, like, 1,000 people than it is to tell, like, three people I'm very, very close to. So I do sort of, like, wonder what it's like for other people. Or, like, I talk a lot about, like, sexuality and, like, mental illness, like, pretty openly. So I wonder what it's like for other people in my life to hear about that through such, like, a broad based, like, thing, as opposed to, like, a private conversation. And I don't know, I think it's like similar to people who, like, perform or, like, make art about things that are, like, very personal, but, like, you don't necessarily, like, actually want to talk about, like, traumatic things all the time. Yeah, so I make a lot of, like, jokes about things that are actually very serious that I wouldn't actually love to have, like, a serious conversation about most of the time.
Totally.
In contrast, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that I'm more likely to talk about in person that I shy away from talking about online, because I'm worried that things I say could be taken out of context or taken the wrong way, like, if it's something more complicated. So, like, I don't really talk about, like, gender expression a lot online, even though it's something, like, I might think about it a lot or, like, talk to people one-on-one, because I don't want someone to, like, see a tweet out of context and think that I'm, like, taking up a space that I'm not supposed to be in, or, like, saying a thought that isn't fully formed. And I've gotten in trouble on Twitter before for, like, saying things that weren't fully formed, and then people are like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know what I meant. So I don't know.
I do feel like that a lot of the time. And I think part of, so before we started recording, we were just talking about how every week I'm like, Maggie, do I sound like an idiot on this week's episode of the podcast? And I think part of it is that I do feel that way too a lot of times in relation to the podcast, and in worrying that, like, something taken out of context, or if I don't clarify something fully, or even if my opinion changes because it's a recorded media, that, like, you know, someone could take this and take it the wrong way. And I think part, like, I think that's indicative of a thing that I find really troublesome, especially in queer spaces, which is this, like, call out culture and this inability to conceptualize, like, people growing or people working through things. I mean, it's one thing to say something that's, like, really fucked up. It's another thing to kind of be processing something. You know, and not that the conversation couldn't happen where someone is like, hey, you said this thing, like, that doesn't seem, you know, like, it seems like you're missing something, or here's whatever, what I think, but it's always kind of in this, like, you use the phrase getting into trouble, which I know you're kind of using colloquially, but, like, you know, sometimes it feels like that, and it creates this anxiety about, like, well, can I ever say anything, because there's always more to learn.
Exactly. And I think about that kind of contrasted with what you were talking about speaking about things that you wouldn't always talk about with your friends. Like, one of the things that I find on my own social media and through things like doing a podcast or other ways that I control my own narrative is that I get to talk about things that are shitty exactly the way I want to. No one has any say in it. Like, I get to, like, completely talk about my own crap And, like, it's up to me to do it in a way that's, like, respectful and, like, done with integrity and, like, doesn't, like, and, like, is conscious of how much space it takes up. But, like, there's something really powerful about that, mm-hmm. about not having someone across the table from you, like, going, you have mental
that's
health
so
problems.
Sad.
And
yeah.
it's like, shit, don't do that. Like, I'm just, like, just let me own it, you yeah. know? Like, but I think it's true that, like, that line of where that meets kind of... because so much of that is identity based and mm-hmm. like expressing mm-hmm. that in communities that really care about these politics, which we should, and we should be holding each other accountable, but like finding the line where like, no, I am talking about myself and my own experiences, but like I might have fucked up. And
yeah.
like, when is someone able to kind of like process things and get back into a community or get back into a space where we don't have to like
yeah.
throw them away as like, right. we don't need them.
Yeah. Right. A few years ago, I was tweeting a lot about how I was tweeting jokes about how I like was identifying as bisexual at the time, but like sort of starting to like move away from that identity. Mm-hmm. And so I was making a lot of jokes about it. And every time I sent them, I was like, that's funny. But like, I hope someone doesn't think that I'm like shitting on bisexuality as a whole or like, mm-hmm. like I think one of the tweets was about like me talking to myself and being like, you can't call yourself bisexual and then call yourself a dyke. And then my other brain is like, corn nuts are the best snack.
Also, wait, bi people can't call, bi women can't call themselves dykes?
Well, this was like, that was like, but that's like what people say. Like,
right,
people
right.
say that all the time.
Right.
So I was worried when that was mostly a tweet about corn nuts, frankly, but like the best snack. But when I tweeted it, I was like, okay, like that's something that I'm just thinking about, but I would hate for someone else to see this and get really upset
mm-hmm. right.
when it's not about them mm-hmm. or like right. these things generally. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a really, it's really kind of messy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do you find yourself being like, do you ever feel overexposed on your Twitter? Like, are there moments where you feel like you have kind of gone too far, or not gone far enough? Like, you feel like you can't say things.
One of the funniest things that has happened to me recently, I guess before I say this, I should say I've made a lot of mistakes online. And unless the mistake is, like, so heinously offensive that, like, no one should ever see it again, I usually leave them up because I think...
Oh,
it's important
that.
For other people to see me being like, oh, I said this, wait, my bad, I didn't know, like, that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But a funnier example of that, I didn't know what the abbreviation, like, YT, I was like, YouTube people, what's
good? YT as in
white
people.
People.
Right.
Because
right.
I just hadn't said it out loud. So I tweeted, I was like, what does this stand for? And everyone was like, you're, that's you.
You.
And it was like
YouTube people.
YouTube people. They're like, white people, that's you. But like, which was so embarrassing, but like also like so funny. And I had a moment where I was like, should I delete this? But I decided to leave it up. So I guess that's one, that's like a nicer example of being
yeah.
called out for being a YT person.
Right.
But yeah, I think I've said things that probably went too far, or I think more so in terms of feeling overexposed. I once again think it's about, like, sort of the challenge between, like, being online and, like, being a student at the school and having a lot of people who I don't know very well in real life following me online.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll, like, see people around and, like, wave at them, but, like, we don't know each other very well. But in my head, I'm like, you know, like, a lot
oh,
of
yeah.
weird things about me,
mm-hmm.
even though we've never spoken in real life. And sometimes that makes me feel, like, uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I don't know
really
how to fix that.
I just, listening to you talk about deleting, like, choosing not to delete things, first of all, mm-hmm. I think that's such a cool move. I think that's so dope. But also it made me realize that I never did this before, but this past year, I don't know when I started doing it, must be since, like, January.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at, like, Facebook memories, I've been deleting them.
Yeah.
Really?
Nothing, and it's nothing has been, like problematic or, like, you know, not, it's not like, oh, I don't want people to see this about me,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just like, what a stupid 15-year-old. And I'll just
yeah.
delete, like, weird pictures
yeah.
of myself or, like, you know, me planking in a grocery store, like, shit like
yeah.
that. I'm just like,
hey,
this
that's
doesn't...
quality content.
Like,
yeah.
this just
how
doesn't need
you?
To be on the internet. Or, like, I'll, like, I used to do these very melodramatic, like, Facebook statuses back when it was in third person.
Mm-hmm.
So it would say, like, me and Mezzaferro like, wonders how she did, blah, 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 blah. Like, yes. It was always, like, so you had to, like, write in third person, but...
Mm-hmm. Was it when it was, like, Mia Mazzaferro is, and yeah. then it was blank?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, mine would always be, like, French homework, then watching, like, I don't know, Lost in Translation, then doing this. And I'm like, okay, this doesn't need to be on the internet. This is just stupid. So I find myself, like, editing, like, retrospectively, like...
Yeah.
Just because of, like, ugh, what a stupid kid, you know? Which is, like... Interesting, too, because why do I care? No one's looking at that. No one even sees that. Who's going to go back to 2009 on my Facebook?
Me, I mean, and Maggie. I mean,
I guess, like, maybe Russia? our podcast just got flagged.
I think...
What are they talking about?
I honestly think Facebook memories is a terrible feature.
Yeah.
I hate it.
It's one of the most homophobic things on the planet.
Yeah.
Because tell me a time a Facebook memory has not been about me and an ex-boyfriend.
Yes.
And it's like, that was well-timed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously.
Exactly what you don't want to see.
Yeah. Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I actually have a quick question about Finstas and Twitter. So you were talking about how... You were talking about how some of your friends have locked their Twitter.
Right.
Is it a... do people have fitters?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. They call them their alt.
Whoa.
Yeah. That's their alt alternate account.
My Instagram's private.
Right.
Because it is my Finsta. My it's a Friendsta.
I use... I do have a Finsta, but I would just say that I use it completely wrong. Like, ooh, not the way...
What does that mean?
Yeah. I have way too many followers on it. It's because I don't care what people see or think of me.
Oh, you want to see a boob? Whatever.
Yeah, you're supposed to have, like, 30, I think, but I have, like...
There's
maybe
rules?
Well, like, most people have, like... like, it's because it's supposed to be, like, your closer friends or, like, people you trust with, like, more...
Right.
intimate content. So I naturally have like 100 followers on Finsta, and some of them I only know online, and that's just how it is. And I also use it, I've started following like tattoo like parlor accounts, and like I follow the lesbian wedding magazine account on my Finsta, so that's I don't want other people to see that I follow that.
Right. Yeah, that's interesting too, is like who sees who you follow.
Right.
But, like, what are you giving permission for following or liking or viewing when you have a public account?
Right.
It's like...
Well, even if someone doesn't... Even if someone has a private account, you can still see... Like if I have a private account, I like Rhea Butcher's photo, my name still shows up as someone who liked it.
Right.
Yeah.
It still shows that I'm a follower.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it says a lot, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And Twitter has made this, like, 500% worse because they've added a feature where you can see tweets that other people you follow have liked, even if you don't follow that person. And it's, like, constantly the worst. Just the worst. Gets everyone in trouble.
That's
or, like, someone I follow will be like, I see that several of you have liked... Redacted's tweet. Just want you to know this person's a bad person.
Whoa.
And then I'll be like, oh my god, I didn't know. I don't know. So like, that really stresses me out. Also, I'm like a serial liker. Like I'll just like go down like on Instagram too. Mm-hmm. I'll just be like if I know someone, I'm just
I did that to you recently.
Nice. Yeah, I like
it. Your L word.
Oh, I love the L word.
Rochelle has a thread on Twitter about the L word.
It's a terrible show. Thread. I'm on season 6 now.
You
I haven't watched
well
the first
quit
episode.
Now. I mean, no, it gets bad.
You might as well quit
it's
after the
already
first
bad.
I was trying to explain
so
to my mom.
Bad.
Like, last time my mom was asking about the episodes, and I was like, oh, yeah, we did one on gay movies. And she's like, oh, like what? And I was talking about Carol in the intergenerational one. But I started talking about the L word, and I was like, oh, because we talk about, like, what you're willing to put up with to see, like,
a
where
lot.
Relationships are. like, the L word. And my mom was like, no, I don't know what it is. And I was like,
good.
You don't need to.
Don't.
Yeah.
Just don't.
L words?
I'm Don Demo, and this is my lover Sydney.
It's been like auto repeat for weeks. I hate it. Yeah.
I should follow people in Kate Manning's follow list.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's definitely gonna work. Yeah. I think about the L Word reboot like maybe twice a day.
Is it coming?
Oh, yes.
When is it?
This year. So how do you feel about like, so for example, like you're going through and saying all of your feelings about the L Word as you're watching it. Very funny. It's like obviously funny, but it shows like a little bit of a look into like what you're willing to put up with for representation and what parts of it you're like, you know what, it's shitty, but I'll still watch it. And the other parts you're like, I turned it off for a second, or like I went and made dinner.
Yeah.
Like, and like I'm going to watch it, but I'm also not just going to put up with it. I'm going to tweet about it and talk shit.
Yes.
And I'm going to watch
it. So I've watched like 15 episodes, like almost the entire first season. And I was mostly exclusively talking about it with my friend Becca, who watched the whole thing like a few mm-hmm. years ago, and they were like, you should tweet about this. And I was like, oh, what? And so now I, like, every day I'm like, Becca, this is what's happening on the network. And then I'll like tweet one thought, so you guys aren't getting like the whole...
okay. It's filtered.
So it's a little filtered. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know.
There's so much to say.
Yeah. But it does, like, you'll do something like that, and it's, like, it's very funny, and it has some commentary to it, but in terms of self-documenting and what mm-hmm. you, like, how much and what parts of your life you're putting on the internet, how do you feel about larger things or medium things? And, like, by larger, I mean, like, when you do get a job, like, are right, you right. going to post what it is on the internet? Are you going to, no. like, how do you feel about that kind of stuff?
So, I try not to post, like, I do tweet about jobs I have, but I don't mm-hmm. tweet about where I'm working.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I, like, really try to avoid saying the name of where I'm working because I don't want to... I don't want someone to search it and then find me talking about it.
Right. Yes.
But I do, like, talk smart. A little bit about, like, what's going on.
Well, you've had some pretty interesting jobs, too.
Yeah.
Also, so, when I was at Mount Holyoke, I used to help run these story slams.
Mm-hmm.
And I always was trying to reel Rochelle in to tell stories. And often the best stories that Rochelle told were about...
The Winchester Mystery House.
Yeah, about yeah. different jobs.
Yeah. Yeah, the Winchester Mystery House was fun to tweet about. But I never said, like, that it was that. I was just like, I work at, like, a haunted house in San Jose. And, like, if you right. know, there's only one.
There's only one.
So, or, like, this past summer, I would be like, well, I'm living in Amherst and I'm working at, like, a Yiddish organization.
Right.
There's
right.
only one.
Right. If you're here, so, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And the weird part about this past summer is I had because it's in the Valley, I had friends who worked there already who followed me on Twitter before I started working there or, like, mm-hmm. who started following, like, mm-hmm. people around my own age. And that was, like, a little bit strange.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I agree with what you guys were talking about with the podcast. Like, I feel like anyone who hires me is probably going to, like, quickly learn that I'm, like, really Jewish and, like, really gay. I don't really have a problem with, like, people knowing about me.
In fact, I'd kind of prefer if they did.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's get the ball rolling on exactly. what you should leave me alone about.
Yeah. Those two.
But, like, so what do you feel about the, like, I know a lot of people now who only go back on Facebook to interact with extended family.
Yeah.
Or to post, like, I got into grad school, or I got a job, right. or I'm getting married. Right. How do you feel about the, like, when do you think it's bragging? When do you feel comfortable, like, taking up space of, like, I'm doing an amazing job?
That's interesting. I think every few months on Facebook, I do a post that's, like, hey, family and friends, here's where I'll be for the next mm-hmm. few months. Or, like, I'm entering my senior year, mm-hmm. Uncle Eric. you know?
Shout out.
But I don't, if you don't treat the Facebook suggested friends box like a dating app, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's the only dating app I use. Actually, yeah. I would love to talk about dating apps.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you on dating apps?
I'm not on dating apps. I'm seeing someone, so I'm not on a dating app. I have
the market.
Off the market.
Off the apps.
I'm not on dating apps. In the past, I've used Tinder, which is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I really like Bay Area Tinder better. Mm. That's where I'm from. I've made a joke about this before, but there's like four types of people on okay. Bay Area Tinder. Basketball shorts, lesbians, yep. who I love. They don't love me back, but it's okay. vegans who tech.
Yeah.
Vegans who are democratic socialists.
Wow. Yeah.
And Hayley Kiyoko's. And that's like the four so types of people. Out. Just people who dress like Hayley Kiyoko.
Damn it.
Yes.
Yeah. Because she has a very West Coast gay
she's
look.
Such a West Coast look.
But I feel like I do God. Better on Bay Area Tinder. Whereas here mm-hmm. I'm like...
Everyone's cold.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. They don't want to date you unless like you make cheese. And I just don't.
Yeah.
Brew your own beer with your own yeast.
Honestly, why do you guys think I started baking bread?
For Tinder. How's Boston Tinder?
Boston Tinder is weird. I'm also... So I have had Tinder since like... I think I first got it first year of college.
Yeah.
I had OkCupid as well. And I've dated people from both
mm-hmm.
successfully... For a while.
Nice.
You know, successfully until it failed. I turned off men on my Tinder. Wow. Just because they were bothering me.
Yeah. I had men on Tinder for like 2 seconds and I was...
Regret.
I just, like, couldn't do it. There were too many of them.
That's the thing. It's like, that's the thing, though. I wish that I could, it was a percentage. Because when I turn men on, instantly my Tinder is just men.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, one woman. But then when I turn the men off, there's plenty of not men.
Yeah, and then one man sneaks in there.
Yeah, there's always one. You're like, Lewis, how did you... What are you doing over here? He's like, I'm just a regular guy. I do this and this. And you're like, what?
Holding a fish.
Yeah. I'm like, Tommy? But yeah, but so right now I currently have, I think my OkCupid is anybody, but OkCupid changed its settings. Yeah. Actually, you have to match before they can message you. Like, they can message you and you see that when you're, they also installed like a swipe feature. I actually don't really like it. And I don't really use that very much. There's not that many queer women older than like 24 in Boston, in like locally near me.
Really?
Which I think that there are, they're just all in relationships.
Yeah.
Or they're not on Tinder. Right. For whatever reason.
So
they're
I
too
actually
busy making bread.
Exactly. Sourdough friends. So I have like 4 or 5 pictures on Tinder and they all have different hair.
Interesting.
So people are always like, what is your hair like now? What is your hair like now? I'm like, it's just, I don't know, it's like fucking girling and it's brown. Like, I don't know. And
I kind of love that you do that. Like, you've always said, like, yeah, they get
guessing, bitch.
They get every little part of me, too. It's like, you see me in all my phases. Now you know what it's going to look like.
Right. You saw me at Hard Femme. You saw me at Soft Butch.
If you can't handle me at...
Right. If you can't handle me at Hot Pink Hunger Games hair, and you don't deserve me at whatever this is. Revlon from a box. When I got sick of having roots. And I think Tinder bios are really funny because I will... Like, that will... make up my mind about somebody so quickly.
Yeah.
If they have a weird bio.
What's your bio now?
My bio right now says, everything you see I owe to spaghetti.
Uh-huh.
Which is true.
So good.
And is a Sophia Loren quote.
I like that.
And then also it says, ask me about my queer podcast.
Yes, I forgot.
Which
I
get.
Yes. Some shameless
LinkedIn
self-promotion.
Is in the past now, baby.
Yeah, suck it. That's the dream.
Yeah.
How do you curate yourself for your... Well, did you used
did
to curate
you?
Yourself?
Yeah.
What was your Tinder bio?
My last Tinder bio was Power Little Spoon.
Oh, yes! That's
amazing.
Yeah. I was very concerned about, like, presenting my current hair. And the last time I had Tinder, I was about to cut my hair off, and I was like, when I do that, I won't have, like, 5 pictures automatically. Like, I'm not just gonna look cute all of a sudden, like, 5 days in a row.
Right.
So that made me a little bit anxious. Yeah. I was also concerned. I think, like, I've heard people talk about, like, how many selfies you should include in your Tinder
pictures. Right, you should have group pictures and...
Yeah, which it really stresses me out. Yeah. Some of my best pictures are selfies. I don't know what people
want
me to do.
I know my angles.
Yeah. You have to, like, have one with a friend to prove that you have a friend. Like, I don't know what people want.
I don't think I do.
So even... Well, actually, that reminds me, like, even beyond Tinder, like, on Facebook or even Instagram moves so quickly, they think it's a little different. But on Facebook, how did you feel when you cut your hair or, like, if you ever kind of go, like, your style goes through a new iteration, or do you ever look at it and you're like, that's just not me?
Yeah.
You know?
When I cut my hair off in high school, I was, like, very quick about, like, changing all my pictures, and then I grew my hair back. We all know that story. And when I did it this past time, it was hard first year. When I did it this past time, I was like, I don't think I changed my profile picture to reflect my new hair until, like, January, and it's, like, still not a very good photo of me, but I just, like, didn't care as much. I more so cared about, like, I posted on Instagram, like, super quick, and I posted on Twitter super quick, because those were, like, things I cared about. Mm-hmm. It is weird to, like, I don't know if you guys ever, like, backstock yourself
on
social media.
Yeah.
It's weird to do that, like, and look
going
at...
Going left, I call it.
Going left.
You go to your Facebook profile pictures, you
oh,
go
yeah.
left.
I like, am obsessed with doing that, but it is weird to be like, wow, I, like, would never wear what I'm wearing in that picture today. Yeah, or, like, this person really didn't know what she was in for.
Yes.
That makes me think about journaling.
Yeah.
Because I think about, I have a lot of journals. I journaled a lot as a kid and a tween and everything. And I love reading them because it's so funny to me, because I'm just like, this person had no idea what was coming.
Yeah.
And I would never say these things. I would never talk about people that way. Like, not in, like, a bad way, but I'm just, like, so melodramatic.
Yeah.
And I also, I had a blog that I started in 7th grade that I that I still have.
Yeah.
So it has posts from 2007, and they're all private now. And I think there were a couple. There were a couple posts on there when I was first starting to think about nursing school. I was talking about that, but I hid all of the old ones because they're so corny. But it's like a journal, so I like to go back and read them for myself.
Yeah.
Did you journal? Do you journal?
I don't journal. I'm so bad at it. Mm-hmm. I think I always feel like something has to have happened to journal about, and most of my days are just like me sleeping and then like walking around a little bit and I go back to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know like what to record about that. I had a blog when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And for better or for worse, the blogging site I used, which was tumblr.com, deleted my blog, so I can't access any of it.
Whoa.
Yeah, because I uploaded music that had copyright. And they were like, goodbye. Yeah, but it's weird to think about, because I like use that like so regularly, like every day. There were like so many pictures of me that I know like only existed on that blog, or like things that I wrote that like only existed. Mm-hmm. And it's weird to not be able to add, like, I know it's out there somewhere, but like I can't access lost. It.
Yeah.
And I like feel relieved about that because I was so embarrassing in high school. But I also sort of wish I could go back. Like, I have friends who like are able to go back and look at their like stupid stuff they said in like 2010, and I can't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
One of my friends still has her MySpace.
Wow.
And
my MySpace is still up there, but I can't get into it anymore. But
locked.
It's funny, like I think that way sometimes about like I was a big self-documenter growing up. And I think it's so interesting to like see in our generation, which is like really like the couple years where, I mean, I think I had a Facebook in the ninth grade. Mm-hmm. Like we started really early, like having this access to social media, but before then, I was so serious even then about like what I edited and like what kind of curating I did for the internet. And I was so worried about how people were going to see me, which I think also comes with that age, but comes with this new territory. But I was otherwise not a big self-documenter. Like, I can't find any of my journals.
Yeah.
I also, when I would get out of relationships, I would like destroy all of the photos. I was like one of those people. And so, and it's a bummer now because I'm like, oh man, like what?
Oh, I have everything. I have like the love letters from my first boyfriend.
Wow.
I'm a hoarder, actually, is what that's called. It's like a different kind of self-documentation. It's just,
your grandkids are going to be like,
memories.
Grandmother's so Betty of them.
Yeah. Oh, grandmother. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that I really like, you know, I think sometimes people try to paint this picture of social media use as shallow or superficial.
Yeah.
But I think, Rochelle, like, even talking with you today, like, I think it could be really nice the way that self-documentation is not just, it's an interactive thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a journal that all your friends could comment on.
And the flip side of that, though, is I haven't gotten, like, a lot of internet hate. I think less so than most people I know, but a lot of what I do get, especially on Twitter, is like grown men who reply to my tweets and accuse me of being like really shallow or like navel gazing.
Ew.
And I just block them.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel weird because I'm like, I don't know, this is like my personal social, like I'll talk about like,
not you. Like, why would those men care enough to say something?
Yeah, and like, it's often like, especially if I'm saying something like a little bit like glum, like I'm like, I'm having a hard time, or like things are kind of going okay but I still struggle, and they're like, wow, this is so like self-absorbed of you, and I'm like, I'm just trying to live. I don't know what you want.
But also, like, you know, so like Maggie, you were saying that you found a lot of like queer people to look up to on Twitter, and I feel like that's really true, and I feel that way about Instagram too. There's like a lot of room for human like connection and communication.
Yeah, totally.
That actually, I mean, that kind of, as a way to kind of close us out of this conversation, I think that leads to a question that I've been thinking of throughout this, which is the idea of catharsis in self-documenting and presenting to the world versus, or in conjunction with being that role model or recognizing at like, when you continue to make these friends, like even if you're not per se like a role model for people that you interact with on Twitter, like you're still another queer person that they see. And I know like the people, my mutuals on Twitter that I've never met in real life, when they post about queer stuff, I'm just like, right, like, someone said something like low-key microaggressive at work and shitty and homophobic. And then I checked my Twitter at lunch and I was like, oh my God, like it's okay.
I feel that
it's
going to
be
okay,
Rochelle.
Like,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I think a lot of the positive moments I've had on Twitter have been, like, seeing that with other people, but also, like, meeting other people with the same, like, weird combination of, like, extremely niche identities who I, like, who maybe I know, like, a few of people with that, like, who are checking those same, like, three or four boxes off in real life, but there's so many more of them online.
Yeah.
And it's super cool to, like, get a message from someone where it's like, hey, I saw you were tweeting about being a Scorpio and also having bipolar disorder, me too.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
And it's really meaningful.
So pro social media, that's what we got out of this.
We love it.
Follow us on Twitter, all of us.
Woo. Oh, wait, actually, Rochelle, do you want to share some, if you want to, do you want to share your handles?
Yeah, so my Instagram handle is Hi Phlegm. Phlegm spelled like mucus. Like
Phlegm like mucus. Gaze phlegm like mucus.
Yeah. No one in my family knows what that means.
Yeah. Gaze and phlegm.
Gaze and phlegm. And then my Twitter is at @kvetchqueen. Queen with a K. W.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we'll post on Rochelle.
Post on.
Just want to put sticky notes on Rochelle. We'll post about Rochelle on our Instagram.
Aww. We'll boost her
so
profiles.
Be sure to check her out.
Follow for more content.
Yeah.
Rochelle, thank you so much for joining to
talk
about
this. Thank you for
this.
Having me.
Yeah,
this
so
was
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was really special to have a slimy gremlin in our cave.
Aww. Yeah. One of my favorite.
Sexual. I'm like, slimy gremlin.
Yeah. Maybe it was.
A word I made up that I would like to share with you guys and the viewers is when you're feeling femme but like kind of grody, you're gremlin femme.
Yes!
I actually often describe myself as a grimy femme.
Okay, so we are going to play a game now called Two Truths and a Lie. I bet many of you are familiar with it. Basically, we are each going to say three statements. Two of them are going to be true and one of them is going to be false. And we have to guess for the other one which one is the lie. So bring it on.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. So the first one is I met Lois Lowry when I was in middle school.
Mm-hmm. Writer of The Giver, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Correct. The second one is I had 10,000 MySpace friends in 2009.
I'm already stressed out.
The third one is I broke my nose as a very small child.
Okay. I think I remember that you broke your nose as a small child. I think we have talked about that. And are you confirming that that's true?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Wait, what was the second one again?
I had 10,000 MySpace friends in 2009.
2009. We would have been in like the ninth grade.
In high school, yeah.
Huh. 10,000 is a lot of friends, but I wouldn't put it past you. I really wouldn't. I think you didn't have 10,000 MySpace friends.
Yeah, I did. I had like 5,000.
Okay, fuck you. I had like 32.
No, I had way too. I was like into having MySpace friends.
You were emo, right?
Mm-hmm. I was like scene.
What's the difference between emo and scene?
Emo is like more subdued. Scene is like more outlandish, like thicker wings and like teased mullet hair. Versus emo is just kind of like, I mean, now we could do a whole episode on emo.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should. Hit up my ex.
I had a Good Charlotte lunchbox. Does that count?
Wow.
It was metal.
So were you, clearly.
Clearly. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
My musical theater career included playing an old woman in a Rodgers and Ebb musical and a dancer in High School Musical adapted for the stage.
Wow.
Before I was born.
Kenny Ortega?
Yes, Kenny Ortega was the choreographer. He worked directly with me.
Just pulled that from the recesses of my brain. Yeah,
you know, he also choreographed Cheetah Girls.
Yes, he did. Yes, yeah. He did. That's true.
Okay, second one. Before I was born, my family had a cat named Boxer that used to bite my dad's leg hair while he was trying to eat his breakfast in the morning.
Wow.
And third one. One time when I was 16, I cut class to make out with my boyfriend in the junior parking lot, but we got caught by the vice principal before we even made it past the gym.
Wow. Okay. I believe the one about the cat.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's very true. My dad hated that cat.
Yeah, that sounds awful. And I'm gonna guess that the first one is also true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't make out with, I did make out in high school, but I didn't, I wasn't cool. I didn't cut class.
Although that was pretty believable.
One time I cut class to go pick up donuts, but like the teacher gave me money and was like, just go get donuts.
So, California, you know, things are different there.
It's really different.
Things just move differently. All right. That was good.
All right.
You're pretty good.
Thank you.
All right, so thanks for listening to this episode and tuning in. Be sure to check out our episode next week. We're going to be talking about queer healthcare. So we'll be talking about our aspirations to work in healthcare as queers, our experiences, things that piss us off, things that we think are important, etc., etc. So tune in for that and be sure to subscribe and leave a comment and a rating on iTunes.
Yes. Thank you guys for tuning in.
Thank you.
See you next week.